Hello, this is Rob Giannino, the host of FlyFishingJournals.net podcast, and I am excited to have our guest on the line with us today. His name is Rich Strolis, and he started as a guide on the Farmington River and the Housatonic Rivers in Connecticut. He later transitioned his work into commercial tying, speaking engagements, and teaching the many facets of both fly fishing and fly tying across the Northeast and the East Coast. His patents, although based out of the Northeast, have a strong following and relevancy across the globe and have been tied and fished by many as a result of his library of online videos. He's a signature fly designer for the Montana Fly Company, which currently produces over 30 of his patterns. His patterns have appeared in several national magazines and books, including Fly Fisherman, Eastern Fly Fishing, Strip Set, Fish Bugs, and his own book called Catching Shadows. And finally, the newest premier coffee table style publication called American Favorite Flies, which is an absolute phenomenal book. Rich is a very well-rounded trout fisherman, but his passion lies in chasing trophy trout and various other apex predators on streamers. He lives in Simsbury, Connecticut, with his wife and two daughters, and also serves as a full-time police officer. Rich, thanks for being on the podcast with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We had met at the Connecticut Fly Fishing Association trade show last week where you were one of the noted fly tiers. And, you know, what do you enjoy about fly tying?
I think there's a lot of things that I enjoy about it. Probably the biggest thing is the fact that you can actually take the time to use your own hands to create patterns and stuff or tie patterns that have already been out there to catch fish that you're going to go out onto the river or the lake or wherever else you're going to go on your own, which you really kind of can't do that in a lot of other facets of fishing. You know, the ability that you can sit there, spend a little bit of time off the water doing something to create something out of, you know, synthetics or natural materials that you're actually going to use to fool fish. I think that's probably the most enjoyable part about it.
That's great. Now, do you have a special style or pattern that you're known for?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It's probably twofold. A lot of people associate me primarily with some of the articulated streamers and stuff, but like I tie a wide variety and spectrum of flies, but I think the one that I'm probably most known for is my use of like Arctic fox fur in an unconventional manner. I do a lot of reverse tied stuff and different styles and techniques, and I incorporate Arctic foxtail in a lot of my streamers because it's like one of those materials I absolutely love. I would say that's probably one of the signature styles of tying that I'm known for when it comes to streamer patterns. You know, there's a whole litany of different ones that are out there, and some people are known for deer hair or bucktail, things of that nature. But I would lay a bet that most people would be like, oh, yeah, it's the guy that deals with tying a lot of Arctic fox fur. A couple of the patterns that there's probably one major pattern that I would say most people probably seek me out for, and it incorporates the Arctic fox, is either the headbanger sculpin or the hog snare streamer, which are both relatively same, similar platforms. One's just tied in reverse in a manner so that the fly can be fished closer to the stream bottom. So basically the hooks on it are inverted, and the other one is just like a standard, you know, in the proper position style streamer. But those are probably the two that I'm known for the most.
Yeah, I grabbed one of those from you at the show specifically because those articulated, especially with like the sculpin head, have been proven to be highly effective for catching trophy-sized landlocked salmon up at our camp in Quebec. And so when I saw that you had that pattern, I was like, oh, I need to get my hands on that. That's an incredibly well-designed fly.
Nice, thank you. Yeah, that one, I tell you, it's a lot of people associate those style of flies with just like trout and stuff, you know, because they see the sculpin and people always associate sculpins with trout. But I tell you, you know, that is a multi-species pattern. I can't tell you how many different species of fish have been caught on it. Not by just myself, but I get letters and stuff on that one pretty frequently. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I love how it dives too. They can, you know, sometimes those big trophies are laying underneath some of the smaller fish. So with that sculpin head, it tends to get down deeper into the pool, which I think is where those bigger fish can lie.
Absolutely. You know, and that whole design, too, with a weight-forward-style fly that's got a relatively heavier amount of weight set forth in the front of it, it helps to penetrate, get to the bottom. But when you retrieve it, you get that, instead of that side-to-side motion that you get out of most articulated flies, you get that vertical retrieve, which I think is an absolutely deadly style of fishing, especially when it comes to, like, bass and stuff like that, but much more so with trout. I think it's very overlooked.
You also, and I'm going to talk about this a bit later too, you know, as far as your online videos and your website and, you know, but I do want some of the listeners who are just popping on and they want to kind of take a look and follow along here. You have an incredible website called catchingshadows.com. You have a ton of online videos here. So if somebody wanted to follow you or learn what you do, you've got a great library of videos on the website. It's catchingshadows.com. Do you know how many videos you have on that site right now, approximately?
Yeah, you know, so I have, it's twofold. So I've done most of my videos through Vimeo as opposed to YouTube, and I've kind of gotten a little heat for that because, like, YouTube's the obviously the much larger medium, and I'm at the point now where I think I'm probably going to start a YouTube channel to coincide with that. On the webpage itself, there's probably 30 or 40 of my videos, but if you go to my Vimeo channel, I have over 135, maybe 140 videos on there. So the library is pretty extensive. I haven't added much to it in the last couple of years. I used to do videos on a much more regular basis, but how I operate with them, if you look at a lot of those videos, I'd say about 95% of them are all kind of unique patterns to myself. They might have some flair from some other people, but they're mostly patterns that I've tied in fish that are a little out of the ordinary or different. And I don't typically like to put videos out there of those patterns if I've got something that's different until I feel pretty confident that it's a, you know, a proven fish catcher. And, you know, I've had it run that fly through the ringer a few years, and then I put it out there to the masses. So I've been getting a lot of emails lately about, hey, you're going to be having some new content. And I'm like, yeah, actually, I have a ton of new content. I just got to find the time to do it. So if you, like I said, if you go to the webpage itself, there's, I think there's three different sections on there, and it's broken down into like streamers, nymphs, and like dry flies, and there's at least 10 or more videos in each section there, and then you can go right to the Vimeo channel and find a pile more. So
I'd like to talk a little bit about this newest book that you've been part of this incredible collaboration for, and specifically because we are going to be doing an entire podcast series on America's Favorite Flies, and obviously you've been honored here to be part of this book. It's over 224 different contributors, whether they be flies, incredible artists. The way they've created this book, it's over 600 pages. It's 7.5 pounds. If you could just talk a little bit about your connection to America's Favorite Flies. I see in the book you've submitted the hog snare streamer.
When I got the initial invitation to be part of this project, I mean, it's a real honor. I mean, there's a lot of people in there that aren't just industry related too. I mean, President Carter's in there. He talks about one of his favorite flies. There's a whole litany of different people. It's from all walks of life in there. So it's one of those like kind of like, I guess you could say, starstruck moments when you get invited or asked to be part of something like that. So it was really an honor for me. And I had to sit there and think really long and hard, you know, why the whole premise of the book is about, you know, why is this particular fly that you've chosen your favorite fly? You could sit there for hours especially if you're a trout fisherman or you fish multi-species, you could have several different types of flies that could be your favorite depending on how you fish. So for me, I had to sit and think about, you know, what's the fly that I enjoy fishing the most and what are the attributes I like about it the most? And the reason I chose that particular streamer, I mean, a lot of people know, if you've heard me talk before, see me, I'm a very, very passionate about streamer fishing. It's probably my favorite way to fish. But there's just something about the way certain flies move in the water. And not only just enticing the fish, but it's also enticing to the angler. And that particular pattern, because it's a three-section fly, it just swims like a fish in the water. And it's at the mercy of the current. And it's just, it's so fun to fish that pattern, to see it move in the water. And then when it gets hit by a big fish, it's even better. So that was kind of the premise behind why I chose that one particular fly, because I get a lot of enjoyment out of swimming that through the water column. And then all the other stuff that goes with it. Like I said, that whole book project is, it's phenomenal. It's really cool to be a part of it. And then when it finally came in the mail and to see it together, like you said, the book's almost 8 pounds. It's quite an accomplishment. It's pretty cool.
Talking about books, why don't we talk about your book for a second, Catching Shadows. Well, you know, what was your purpose in the goal of creating this book?
This particular book, I wanted to do, I was basically requested to do a book on a bunch of my different fly patterns that I had come up with. Being a guy that not only enjoys fly fishing and tying, but I also have quite the collection of fishing and tying books, it's kind of like a secondary passion of it all. I've read through every single one of them, and there's some books that really stand out, and there's a lot of them that are, you know, they're pretty good. I wanted a book that was going to push it over the top and be like something that people would speak highly of and say, hey, you got to have this book. Because it really clearly articulates, you know, not only how to just tie some of these guys' patterns, but, you know, why, the whole why behind it. You know, why do you do things this way? Why do you use this particular material? You know, how did you come up with this particular fly pattern? You know, what promoted you to push you to tie something in that vein and, you know, talk about how it came about. You know, was it something that just came up real quickly? Did it go through a lot of different prototypes before it finally came out right? And then explain, which I think is huge. You know, it's one thing to talk about flies and things of that nature and how to tie them and show how to tie it, but explain how you fish it and the whole thought process behind it. So I wanted it to kind of be like a one-stop shop for all of that, you know, because a lot of people that tie their own patterns, they want to know all that other stuff. It's not just, hey, okay, here's a book, shows me how to tie this fly, here are all the steps to do it, and then that's it. They want to know all the other good stuff, the nitty-gritty, I guess you could call it. So my biggest purpose was to have this book clearly articulate those specific flies and then give you all the accessory stuff. Hey, I fished this here. It's other people fished it in different places. It's very versatile, and here's how you fished a particular pattern. So that's kind of what I initially set out to do.
Yeah, it's a great book. Where can listeners pick up a copy of that?
You can find it just about anywhere now. Amazon's a big one. If you're looking to get an autographed copy and personalized, you can get them right off my webpage. You can buy them right there, and I sign it all and personalize it and mail it right out from the house here.
That's cool.
I've seen it in Barnes & Noble. A lot of fly shops have it. So it's pretty widespread in regards to distribution now. So
again, that's catchingshadows.com. Well, let's talk about some fishing, Rich. Where do you like to go fishing? What are some of your favorite spots to go fishing?
Well, the easiest way for me to say that is anytime I get a chance to step into the water. But
right.
I'm pretty spoiled. I live in New England here. I grew up in Western Mass. I moved to Connecticut, obviously, for a career. I literally live minutes away from fantastic trout fishing. So the Farmington River is my, I guess you could say that's my home water. That's probably, when I have a chance and I got a small window of time to fish, that's most likely where you'll find me. I like to chase. I like the adventure, so I go all over the place between freshwater and saltwater, warm water species, cold water trout. I like to do everything. I found over the course of my fishing career, I guess you could say, in order for me to continue to, you know, iron sharpens iron or sharpen the axe or whatever, to get better at this passion, is branching out and doing a lot of different stuff. So every year I try to fish someplace new. So it's really hard for me to say a favorite place because I've been to a lot of different places, but I'll use my home waters just because if I can't get out for a long period of time, that's where I'll go.
Do you have a favorite destination trip that you've taken?
Yeah, you know, the one that really resonates with me, I've been to a lot of different places. I've been to South America, been to Puerto Rico, all over the United States, out west. I've frequented Alaska many times. But I tell you, one of the trips that right now is probably at the top of the pile, but in a couple of weeks that might change because I'm going somewhere else. I did a trip into the upper Yukon, water drainage for trophy pike a couple years ago with one of my other friends who's another big tire, Mike Schmidt. That trip was just such a memorable trip. I'll never forget that one because I experienced stuff on the water that I've never experienced with other fish, just in terms of behaviors and not just like how many fish we caught, just the crazy stuff we saw.
Like what?
And the fish there, the pike there are insane. The place is an absolute pike factory. I mean, you can't, it would be almost impossible for you not to catch a fish there. That's how many pike are there. And they predominantly predate on themselves. That's their basic food forage is them smaller pike, like juvenile pike. So on one of the days, the same day actually, I'll give you two things that actually happened. We're going up through, a lot of these fish get into these like oxbows and side channels off the main chute of the river. And they're either doing one of two things. They're either and they're digesting or they're hunting around for food. You can see them. A lot of it's really, really visual, which is awesome with a fly rod because, you know, a lot of people equate fly fishing with, you know, that the whole dry fly experience where you get to see the fish actually take your fly. With pike, it's a little bit different because the flies are a lot bigger and the takes are a lot more vicious. But being able to see what you're going after is always enjoyable. So as we're going through this one oxbow up into this, like, almost like a small lake, there's all these pike littered all off along the shore. There's, you know the fishing's good when you're pulling your fly away from mid-30s-inch pike. That's to kind of paint the picture of the kind of fishing we had. So I see this one, like, mid-30s pike. He's posted up right on a beach. Like, he's literally facing the shoreline, and there's, like, this 15-foot by 10-foot sandy beach. So I'm like, I'm going to throw a cast at it just for ha-has. We're passing through. I overshoot the cast by a foot or two, and my fly actually lands on the shoreline, and the fish, and the pike comes out of the water, bends itself in half, kind of like a U-shape, and eats the fly in the sand and goes back into the river. And you'd never believe that you'd see something like that, but the guy who has the outfit up there, Scott, he actually caught it on GoPro, and we were, like, screaming and hooting and hollering because I've never seen
That's
a fish
awesome.
Actually come out of the water to eat a fly on the shoreline.
And wow.
The second one, which you see videos and stuff of this a lot, but then when you finally experience it, I mean, I've had, when I was guiding, I've had multiple small salmon par and juvenile trout, you know, ripped off my line or a customer's line while we've been fishing to a 20-plus inch brown trout. So I've seen it in that spectrum, but never in person with a much larger pike taking a smaller pike that your friend has on the end of his line. So Mike not to throw him under the bus, probably caught one of the smaller pike of the entire trip. It was like a hammer handle, like 22-inch pike. And he's hand lining it in to get his fly back out to chase one of the wakes that's coming through this one oxbow we're on. And like two strips in, the pike gets absolutely T-boned in the mouth of like a mid-40s pike. And it was crazy. You know, it was like pure mayhem. It's on video. I actually have it. I think I've posted it a few times on my Instagram account. He's playing cat and mouse with this thing. So I pick up my iPhone and I just start shooting video of it. And this poor pike has got, I mean, it would drill it, it would let it go, and then it would, like, cat and mouse it. You'd see its pec fins, like, flare out, and then it would hit it again. And this poor little pike is like, man, what are you doing to me, man? Just, like, let me go, you know? Part of his, yeah. like, skin's hanging off. It was pretty brutal. And at one point, Mike is, like, probably a minute and a half into this whole ordeal. He's like, dude, put the camera down and, like, see if you can catch that fish.
Right.
So I drop my phone, and I throw one shot into the water, and I strip the fly once, and it absolutely destroys it. And, you know, like, 30, 40 seconds later, we're taping a 45-inch pike and taking pictures
awesome.
Of it.
I've had a similar scenario. We were on a trophy brook trout fishing trip up in Quebec, and we saw this little bay. You know, you had to walk down a river. It's like a little, almost like a little stream, and we actually had to get out of our John boat because it was so shallow. We had to walk the boat back into the bay, and it was the same type of thing. I mean, there was like wakes everywhere. You know, it was, we had to actually pole the boat with our oars. You know, you cast towards the weed line, and you'd see that wake coming from 2 or 3 feet away, and these pike were just crushing these flies, and it's a ton of fun.
Super exciting. I mean, what's crazy is when you get in a situation like that and you have multiple wakes coming at your fly, and then you're seeing these pike like turn themselves inside out and almost hitting each other to take
yeah.
the pattern. It's nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy. We called it Crocodile Bay.
You got it.
Yeah. Well, you had mentioned you have another trip coming up in a few weeks. What's on the agenda this year?
Yeah, so this one has been kind of one I've been saving for a while, and I'm finally happy to be going there. I'm actually leaving for an entire week to go down to Chile in the General Carrera Lakes region to go fish for giant brown trout, and it's basically all based around fishing streamers and stuff, all streamer fishing. We might have the opportunity to do a little dry fly fishing for some of these big fish, but these are giant migratory browns, kind of like you have on the Great Lakes, that are basically making their way out of one giant lake down there up and through this river system pre-spawn, and they're very, very aggressive, and they're not measured in, like, inches. A lot of these fish are measured in pounds, and some well over 10 pounds.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've been actually tying flies for, there's a guy that goes down there to host this every spring. He's been kind of like getting the particulars on this area for a few years now. He's got it really dialed in. His name's Lance Wilt from Outcast Anglers. He's out of Pennsylvania. He's a really well-decorated fisherman. He's actually contacted me in the last few years for tying streamers for him, and I sent tens and twenties of dozens of some of my patterns on to him that apparently, according to Lance, they work really well there, so he actually hit me up for some more this year. But I'm really excited because it's an awesome area. You're out in the wilderness. There's nothing else there. It's you basically hiking miles and miles of river and fishing for these just massive fish, which is right up my alley. So
that's crazy.
You know, and he's fished all over the world. He was a competitive angler for Team USA. He's like, Rich, this is the best streamer fishing for trophy brown trout that I've ever experienced. So I'm like, sold. That's right up my alley. So I'm really, really looking forward to that trip and seeing what that provides. The whole experience should be pretty cool.
Well, that's great, Rich. As we come down to the close here, just a couple more questions. Do you have any particular equipment that you use or feel great about recommending that you think our listeners would benefit knowing about?
Yeah, you know, I'll keep it to tying. I think, you know, listen, there's a lot of choices out there if you're new to tying or you're a veteran, you've been tying for a lot of years, and it doesn't matter if you're getting into commercial tying or it's just for, you know, your own personal fly boxes and stuff, but like vices and things, like I've tied on pretty much every fly tying vice out there, and I know it's a matter of personal preference, but there's absolutely no way I could live without my Regal vice. Regal's the ease of that particular vice, the jaws, all I have to do is pull basically a handle. It opens the jaw. I put the hook in the vice, let go of the handle, and I'm good to go. And that hook is not going anywhere. I've shown people at shows that, especially people that like to tie streamers and stuff, just the specific jaw that they use for it, you put a hook in there, I can take a 6-aught hook and bend it into a circle, and it doesn't even slip. So that's a huge plus for me, and there's nothing worse when you're tying multiples or successions of flies or you're bouncing back and forth from different size hooks, and you're constantly having to fiddle with knobs and levers and all this other stuff just to get the the hook to stay in the vise and in the proper position so that you can tie the fly. And there's, in my opinion, there's no other vise out there that has the ease of use that's a, that's as applicable to tying in whatever aspect it is as the Regal vise. And I'd be lost without it. I can't tell you how many people I've recommended that vise to, and I get all positive feedback from them.
Yeah, I have a Regal as well. I love it. So I definitely know what you're talking about. I love my Regal vise. So, well, good. It's been a great time talking with you. Again, for our listeners who want to connect with Rich and watch some of his videos, maybe drop him an email, ask him some questions, pick up his book, see what he's up to, find out where he's going to be tying, you can connect with him through catchingshadows.com. And, Rich, it's been a great time talking with you. I thank you so much for joining FlyFishingJournals.net podcast. I will leave you with one question. I think we've got a lot of this today, but one question I do like to ask our guests, and like I say, we have got a bunch of it because you've been very clear on some of your passions, but you know, whether it be fishing or tying or anything involved with life at all, what are you passionate about? What gets you up in the morning? What makes you excited? You know, what are your passions?
I got a lot of passions outside of fly fishing, but fly fishing is probably the number one. Just the ability to go to some great places, get up, chase some different fish. I mean, I've been doing this now, fly fishing, since I was about the age of 10. I'm 43 this year, or I'll be 44 actually. So I've been doing it for a little over 30 years now. And it's taken me some great places. I'm always thinking about the next fish. And then the biggest part of it's not just about me, but being able to share that with people, you know, friends, family. My daughters are really getting into fishing quite a bit. My wife likes to go with me. Especially from a guiding perspective. I've been away from guiding for a few years full-time now, but I'm going to be doing that as a career entirely in the next couple of years, and I really look forward to that because the beauty of being a guide is I can basically live vicariously through other people's eyes, and I can see people's first fish, their best fish, their most memorable fish over and over again, and that never gets old. So to me, obviously it's fishing-related, but that's probably the thing I'm most passionate about is pretty much any facet of the sport. That's what keeps me going every day. So keeps the thirst going.
That's incredible. Well, thank you so much, Rich Strolas, for being our guest on FlyFishingJournals.net podcast. My name is Rob Giannino, your host. It's been another great episode. Please go ahead and share this with your friends. Post it in a Facebook community or send an email. Let people know that this podcast is out there and you got some great information from Rich. And so, Rich, it's been our pleasure to have you. And we look forward to seeing you out in the river.
Sounds good. Thank you.